Y'all ready for it? April 20th, Longhorn spring game. We got the weather holding off a little bit right now. Maybe a little bit of sprinkle, but not too much, Rod. You ready for a spring game today?
I've been ready for some actual real football. We've been talking about it. It feels like forever. And the Longhorns, once again, high expectations. It's been a long time since we've been talking about a team that's this good, that we expect to be this good. So this is probably one of the more anticipated spring games in the last 15 years. Gotta be. There's no question about it. And thank you guys for all coming out. Appreciate all this. All you guys coming out. We consider y'all family. Good to have a little family reunion out here at Victory Lap.
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks to the folks at Victory Lap, too, for having everybody out and opening up a little bit early. This is a hot spot for the kids, which is a little bit later. They make it a hot spot from like 10 to midnight. You know, this is for the folks to get here early. Longhorns, Rod, also hosting a number of recruits on campus today. Jerry Hamilton and C.J. Vogel over by Moncrief Newhouse right now. Whether it's the two defensive linemen coming in from out of state, one, Bill Norton's already on campus from the University of Arizona, Jay Toya out of UCLA. We spotted them yesterday with us. Now we've got some blue chip recruits coming in from the high school level today, including Riley Pettijohn, linebacker out of McKinney, K.J. Edwards, a big tight end out of California that Jeff Banks has been on. So there's been a number of guys. You've been to spring games before, Rod, and you know how it is with recruiting. What's going through the player's mind right now? What's going through a recruit's mind? You've been on both sides of this, dude. What are you thinking?
I think for the players right now, it's almost like an individual journey. You're trying to work on certain aspects of your game. Coaches have talked to you about your game, where you stand with the team, where you stand in your developmental path, your rate of development as a player. So there's just so much of your game you're trying to cultivate and work on. And the spring game is the culmination of that. So I'm excited for a lot of these young guys. I mean, think about, when I was a senior, the spring game experience is very different, right? From when I'm a freshman. When I'm a senior, I mean, honestly, I'm out there, I'm not playing a lot. I probably played three series or so because I was already a proven commodity. I'd already earned the trust of the coaches. Different experience. A lot of guys out there now trying to earn the trust of the coaches, trying to earn more reps on the field. The coaches want to see these guys make big plays in clutch moments, in critical moments, but also do it on a big stage. And this is not the biggest stage, but it's a big stage. So the movie that is Texas football for the 2024 season, this is the trailer for it, right? This is a little trailer for the movie. And hopefully what the Longhorns see gets them even more excited about the upcoming season. For the recruits, it's a different experience now because I wasn't on campus as a recruit for the spring game. But I imagine they want to see something exciting. Sark wants them to see something exciting out there and have their own personal connection. I know if I was a recruit, I'm watching my position. So if I'm a DB, I'm watching the DBs. If I'm a linebacker, I'm watching the linebackers. If I'm a quarterback, I'm watching the QBs. So you do want to have a great performance if you got a lot of recruits out there and you want to show off the overall athletic profile of this team and the capability and potential of this team.
I tell you a couple of notes that I had going into today. I'm told that Quinn Ewers will be on a pitch count of sorts.
Makes sense.
Which is exactly what you just talked about. We may see him two or three series at most. So be aware of that, but there's a positive to that. We haven't seen a lot of Arch Manning yet.
That's right.
Haven't seen much of Trey Owens at all. This will be his debut to most Longhorn fans. And then, we also have, to your point, we'll be seeing more of the young defensive backs because guys like Jahdae Barron, not going to see a lot of time today. Michael Taff and those guys probably going to be out of there. Barron, Terrell, he's going to be a third-year guy. Yep. Alfred Collins, third-year guy. You're going to see a bunch of new faces for the Longhorns. Is there anybody in particular, Rod, that you are really anxious to get a chance to see and get out and take a look at?
Oh, there's so many guys. I feel like I can go on here for a few minutes, but I'll just name kind of the top three. I really want to see these edges. I think the edges are different than they've been here in Texas in a while. Guys, just watch the BGO, the ball get off. Between Trey Moore, between Colin Simmons, they're built different on the edges now. Different explosivity, different twitchiness on the edge. And that's where I project the strength of your defensive line is going to be. We know that from what Texas is doing in the portal. when it comes to the interior D line, which we can talk about later. So I want to see Trey Moore. I want to see Ethan Burke. Obviously, I want to see Baron Terrell. I don't think those guys will play as much, but those young edges, what I'm hearing about Colin Simmons, what we've heard about Trey Moore. Trey Moore might be your, I think he is your best natural pass rusher on campus right now. And I think that's the guy that's going to make a huge difference for Texas. Other guys, Ryan Wingo. The truth is, in terms of physical traits and physical gifts, you haven't had a wide receiver with the combination of physical traits and physical gifts on campus like Ryan Wingo since Roy Williams. I do believe in terms of just the body type, the frame, the skills, the speed, the agility, explosive. He's got everything. You haven't seen a receiver with all those traits in a long time. So I want to see how it looks because I'm sure it's going to look different with him out there. The DBs, let's be honest, guys. DBs were a liability. They have been since Sark's been on campus. I went back and I don't know why. I must be a masochist. I went back and rewatched the Sugar Bowl like 3 days ago. I have no idea why I did that. It's not. I do not advise anybody to go do that for any reason. But I wanted to go see the DBs again and see if it was as bad as I thought it was. And especially giving up the deep balls over the top. I believe they were, what was it, either 6 of 8 on passes 20 yards or more down the field. The Texas secondary has been a liability and a weakness for Texas. And they've been tested. Right? Think about what they're going against in practice every day. They're going against Xavier Worthy, A.D. Mitchell. Now they're going against this deep group of wide receivers. They should take a leap this year. Manny Muhammad. I see my man wearing the – there you go. Wearing the Manny Muhammad jersey, baby. Yeah. Natural ball hawk. He should be one of the guys that takes a step up. Derek Williams should pick up where he left off last year as the best covered safety, even as a freshman for Texas. And we're not going to see a lot of Jadae Barron, but I'm hearing Jalen Gilbo is looking good, and he's going to give them ability to stabilize the nickel position, move Jadae Barron around the formation a little bit. So those are the guys that I'm top of mind. Obviously, everybody wants to see Arch, so we can talk about Arch for about 10 minutes if you want to. I want to see Arch, too. I think it's great, but, you know, spring game is half glass, you know, glass half full, glass half empty. If Arch is out there willing and dealing, and he's out there throwing strikes and eating up the secondary, y'all going to be celebrating. I'm going to be stressing about the secondary. Like, man, secondary looking bad out there. Getting dirty. So you'd like to see wins on both sides in the spring game. Defense winning their fair share, offense winning their fair share.
And competitive wins.
Yes.
Competitive wins. So the one thing I would say about the Washington game, a lot of those catches downfield were competitive.
They were contested.
Yeah, they were contested. Tyler Mazur here says, Arch going 13 of 15 for 265
there
today.
You go.
This is not what Rod Babers wants. He wants like 10 of 15 for like a buck 15 is what Rod wants.
A PBU or two, something like that?
Exactly. Yeah. So, I, you know, look, we can talk about things like that all the time. You mentioned the DBs. I'm interested in Jelani McDonald.
Yeah.
See exactly how his transition to safety is taken. I think that's a big piece of it, Rod. Right. And then I would add to you that, you know, Andrew Makuba, the newcomer from Clemson, exactly how is he going to be integrated into the rotation? Because we know Michael Taft is a leader of this team. And that's the coaches are 100% into that. The players are into that, too, because they know what he gives to the team. And then you have Derek Williams, who is, frankly, maybe the most talented guy in the secondary overall, regardless of class. So you have all of that. And then you look at some other guys, the receiver group right now. You mentioned Ryan Wingo. I was talking to Scott here, who was here earlier. He actually helped some guys in the St. Louis area and Dallas area with football. And he actually has been seeing Ryan Wingo, he said, for years. And, you know, we talked about Wingo. He says he's just a different caliber athlete. And so this will be a first time for a lot of people to be able to see him. By the way, where's number 5? Which is the same as Manny Muhammad. So you're going to have to get used to that, guys, on stuff. But we're going to take your questions here. We're at the victory lap. It's about an hour and a half right now until kickoff for the Longhorns 2024 spring game. I'm Bobby Burton, joined by Rod Babers. We've got a bunch of different questions coming in here. Let's go ahead and start with a couple of them. Let's start with a little recruiting talk from Peter Gonzalez. Do we have a count on how many recruits will be in attendance today? I got a text from Jerry Hamilton while this podcast was going on. He says about 2 dozen at least.
Okay. Wow.
Now that he's seen, he and CJ Vogel have seen so far, we think it'll exceed that number. But how far, we don't know. Riley Pettijohn, I mentioned the linebacker out of McKinney, is here already. There's a number of other players as well. So we'll go from there.
All right. We're also going to take your questions. So please feel free to line them up in the chat. We'll take them as we go. Rod, anything else that you're kind of wanting to see today from the Longhorns that maybe is kind of an under the radar type thing? It's not a, I want to see Arch Manning or I want to see Jelani McNabb. Like, is it Trey Wisner? Is it, how do they integrate the new running backs? Maybe Amari Nyblack. What are the things that you think are under the radar that we should be looking for today?
There are a couple of things. I'll start with tight end. Losing JT Sanders was huge. He was kind of a muse for Sark. I think he's probably the most physically gifted tight end that Sark's ever had. Now you have Gunnar Helm. By the way, I love Gunnar Helm's mentality. He's about business. And I think he's going to be great, but I don't know if he's the matchup nightmare that a guy like JT Sanders was. But then you got Juan Davis, who Sark's been really complimentary of Juan Davis. He's also brought in Amari Nyblack, who's, I mean, just a straight-up speed. He's definitely your fastest tight end vertically. Sark says the tight end position is the second most important position in his offense behind quarterback. So I just wonder what's going to be, you know, the rotation at tight end. Who's he going to end up trusting next to Gunnar Helm? I mean, think about it, guys. They play 12 personnel, one back, two tight ends, second most as popular or favorite personnel package for Sark. So who your second tight end is really big. And it can make your offense predictable if your second tight end is a guy that can only go down and run routes and he's not a great blocker, or you don't have Gunnar Helm, can't necessarily win one-on-ones. That's going to determine a lot. And I also think if that is the case, you will see more than two tailback sets. Everybody know I love two tailback sets. I think you may see it in the spring game, the pony package, where he actually just plays two tailbacks, whether it's Trey Wisner, C.J. Baxter, or C.J. Baxter and Jaden Blue, or a different combination of. It's easily the most explosive, most efficient personnel grouping. And now I think it's part of the staples of the offense. Sark's not going to show you any wrinkles, guys. Y'all not going to see any new cheat codes or loopholes. That ain't happening because he doesn't want a future opponent to get any advantage. But you're going to see the core of his offense, right? The staples, the go-to elements of his offense. And I think the two tailback set might be a go-to element now. I think it's now, he's at a point now, he's stockpiling so many great running backs, he may decide, you know what, that's just part of our identity. That's part of our DNA as an offense. That's one thing. Also, I'll throw out there, linebacker opposite Anthony Hill. Is it Benda? I've heard Benda is right now the front runner for that job, but you have so many different body types that can play that job, right? Maurice Blackwell is a hybrid safety linebacker. David Benda is kind of your old school run force linebacker. You got Blackshear, who's like 250, 260 pounds at linebacker. You got Leonga Lafau, who probably fits more of the prototypical linebacker that PK wants. So many different body types. I wonder how they're going to fill that void at linebacker that was left by Jalen Ford. We know Anthony Hill is going to be the top guy. But then I do wonder who's going to end up winning that job. Will it be Benda? And if it is Benda, you know, what level of play is he going to be performing at?
I would agree with that. We had a good question here because last year Texas allowed one transfer to play. Guy that had now announced his transfer was Jaden Alexis, a wide receiver who had battled back from injury. He announced his transfer on the Saturday of the spring game, and Sark went ahead and let him finish the spring break game. And so Burnt Orange Horn asks, are there any announced transfers playing today? To my knowledge, no. And obviously those transfers at this point are Jermon Tapp, the defensive end, Billy Walton, defensive end. I will say this, to my knowledge, Walton is not officially in the transfer portal yet. So that's something to watch. I don't know if they're trying to work some things behind the scenes or what have you. Then also Peyton Kirkland, the offensive lineman. And I'm trying to remember the other one. Can't remember off the top of my head.
Samaje Burrell,
the linebacker.
Yeah.
The question then becomes, are there going to be any additional guys go into the transfer portal after today? I think that it's likely. How many? We don't know yet. But just from what I'm hearing behind the scenes, I don't expect it to be an avalanche. Which is one of the things I was concerned with. And I think it's a natural concern because Steve Sarkisian's built the roster in such a way that you want to keep building on top of it. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that he's done really well is not only has he recruited at a very high level on some marquee players, but they're also developing players.
Yep.
And, you know, Billy Walton's an example that you would have liked to seen stay at Texas because he's shown some flashes, but he's gone within a year. So, what he doesn't get a chance to ever be a David Benda.
Nope.
You know what I mean? Or a guy that, that comes on, a Jonathan Brooks, those kind of guys that come on later, but still have talent. And so I think that what I'm watching, not only is the incoming recruits that we've been talking about, or transfers, portal transfers, Rod, but some of the off-field stuff, right? That that deals with roster construction and team construction as well. I think that the Longhorns right now are in a great position with that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's always that but. You got to wait to see exactly what happens and go from there. All right. There's a couple other questions. Here's one. You know, we had some Hawaiians on the team now. Miss 817, Mr. Talk Too Much. How do Leonga Lafau and Tasili Akana look? That's going to be interesting. We haven't talked about Leonga Lafau or Tasili Akana much this offseason, although I'm being told that Lafau right now is running second team at middle linebacker ahead of Kendrick Blackshire, which is interesting because Blackshire, the transfer from Alabama, was thought to be he's going to be a run plugger, a guy that can kind of back up Benda and or Anthony Hill. But I'm being told that Lafau has kind of been the number two guy right now. Akana is more of an edge prospect. And so we'll see how that goes. But you look at all of this, whether it's a linebacker, tight end that you mentioned, defensive back, the Longhorns really in a situation right now where they can and should be a better team overall with the depth that they have. I mean, we just mentioned Leonga Lafau. We haven't mentioned much at all.
Nope.
But frankly, he was a national recruit a year ago.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I think right now Texas has first world problems on their roster. Yeah. The only position where they may have, you know, some more dire issues would be interior D-line. And, you know, from all the reports that you guys have had over the last couple of days, they are going to address that aggressively in the spring portal. So, yeah, I think with a lot of these positions right now that we're looking at, you have frontline guys you can depend on. Linebacker David Benda being one of those guys, but I do wonder situationally, team to team, matchup wise, if all those guys will fit. David Benda had some coverage issues last season, and you could expose him in coverage. So, do they like when they're playing a team that's pass happy to have a guy like Mo Blackwell out there instead? Or that's why I like Leonga Lafau, because he's more of an every down linebacker to me, or at least projects to be that way. That's not necessarily Benda, that's not necessarily Blackshire. You know, some of these other guys. And even I wonder if Blackwell also can fit into that category. He's more of a guy that was more their he was a hybrid last year. They would use him as a way of really supplementing their sub packages. Instead of having a nickel out there, you'd have him out there, and he represents a hybrid a nickel or a safety slash linebacker. So I do wonder exactly what their plan is at linebacker. And it may be just to stockpile enough capable guys that if you play a team that wants to run downhill on you, I got Benda, I got Blackshear. You play a team that wants to throw and expose those guys in coverage, I got Blackwell, we got Leonga Lafau. So I just wonder how they'll approach it.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. They've got a number of different pieces that they can do, Rod. All right, I want to say thank you to our sponsor. Our sponsor for this morning is Adam Lowy of the Lowy Law Firm. If you have been injured in a car wreck, accident, a motorcycle, bike, ATV, what have you, and you think you may be due compensation, give Adam and his group a call, LowyLawFirm.com. They've been doing it for 20-plus years in the Austin area and across the state of Texas. Again, it's a free consultation. We appreciate it. Adam and his team and them sponsoring on Texas Football, they are part of why we're able to bring you guys so much content, and we appreciate them very much. I also want to thank you to the folks today at the Victory Lap for allowing us to come together and get out here and get ready for the spring game, have a little fun in pregame, and enjoy talking a little Longhorn football today. It is drizzling right now, but it is not a heavy.
No.
It is not a heavy drizzle. Mm. I just looked up the latest radar. Heavy starting at 4, but it could rain a little bit beforehand. So we'll see exactly what happens. Hopefully it holds off until 1 o'clock today. I think if it does, we're going to all get a chance to see what these Longhorns look like. I don't know. I was worried. I got to be honest. I was worried earlier this week about this because I'd come down here, tried to get ready for it, make a big deal about the spring game, and I saw the weather forecast. And then I woke up this morning and said, heavy rain doesn't start till 4 o'clock. And now I'm hoping the weatherman, all week I've been hoping the weatherman was wrong. Exactly. And now I'm hoping he's right.
You know, it's 50-50
shot. It's like, yeah. 50-50 shot. And so I've been in that pain, yeah. So to speak, for a little while here. But it does look like it's just overcast. It hasn't, the skies haven't opened up.
No.
I would say that either the water hasn't opened up and the sun hasn't opened up. Either way.
The drizzle is almost pleasant right now. It's weird.
Yeah, it is. After almost 90 degrees on Wednesday or whatever.
Yeah,
yeah. So anyways, all right, let's get back to some questions that we had here that I thought that were pretty good overall here. Let's start with this one from Chris Roberts. Who will be the MVP of the spring game if the weather holds?
Yeah. It definitely won't be a defensive guy. Defense, it's hard to win MVPs as a defensive guy, even if they play well. Manny would have to get two picks, or somebody have to have even, you know, three or four sacks in the game. And by the way, Sark ain't going to let that happen either, because Sark wants his offense to have confidence. And that's part of recruiting. You want your offense to look that bad. So I'm going to go with an offensive guy. It's going to be either a running back, one of those running backs. And it could be a Trey Weiser who just plays a lot, right? Because you're not going to see a lot of C.J. Baxter. You're probably going to see a little bit more Jaden Blue. You might see a lot of Trey Weiser. And Sark's been really complimented about how good he looks and how much they're using him. So Trey Weiser is on that list for me. And I know everybody's hoping it's Arch. Don't be surprised, though, because we know Quinn's not going to play a lot. I'm telling y'all, Trey Owens, every time I watch Trey Owens on film, I'm more impressed than before. He's got a nice arm. He's got great confidence as a young player, which is what you need if you're going to be, you know, backing up Arch Manning and Quinn Ewers. He's got great touch on the football, and his deep ball is a strength. He's got probably got a better deep ball than Quinn. Just a natural better deep ball thrower than Quinn might be. You know what I'm saying? Quinn makes all the throws, but I'm telling you, Trey Owens he's gonna surprise some people, and he'll impress you. I guarantee out there today, especially if they got some of those wide receivers like the Matthew Goldens and DeAndre Moores and Ryan Wingo. Like if those guys are rotating in with his group, he might do some damage.
I'm going to go with one of three people. Okay. Here are my people. I think I'm going to go with Arch Manning. I think he's the odds-on favorite, given the fact that we've already talked about Quinn Ewers being on a pitch count today.
Yep.
Jonte Cook, possible wide receiver. I think he's the one guy out of that receiving group that Arch Manning has some rapport with.
UT boy.
Based over that. And then the last one, I'll go with Manny Muhammad. We've heard that he's dominated some practices this summer or this spring. And so I would add those. Now, Rod, we're gonna transition here, and I'm gonna make you read this.
Give it to me.
Here we go.
Bobby, between Rod's hands and the wet weather, I don't have a lot of faith that Mike finishing the show if you keep passing it back and forth. Hey, listen, I will say this about my hands, man. I count the ones that matter. You know that. Big game, Oklahoma, a Big 12 title game. I caught those, but I dropped my fair share. This is true. See, these are real Longhorn fans. They remember. All right. I'm top five all time in PBUs at the University of Texas. And half of those are damn, I screwed up type PBUs. Damn it, I should have had that interception. So I get that. But I count the ones that matter. That's true. Thank y'all for y'all support.
Yeah. I love it, Rod. Yeah. Rod, you're so personable, man. Guys, we've got about 15 more minutes here before we're going to get headed over to the DKR. A lot of people going to get in and out of this. We got some other comments here. Burn Orange Horn. We have not heard if Malik Ogbo is still playing TE.
Yeah.
He was also second string guard one week. He's working at both.
Yeah.
So we actually have heard that. So he is still being that bonus size tight end when they go heavy.
Big 12.
Big 11 or Big 12 personnel. Yeah. He is the big.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's usually in goal line situations or short yardage. I have not, you know, what's interesting, Sark, if you remember 2 years ago when they just kind of took it to Baylor in the second half, and they brought in Andre Karich at the time.
Yep.
And really just went exclusively to that Big 12 personnel and kind of ran it down their throat.
Grand duo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They have done a little bit more with that over time. And I think it's going to be interesting because if they do run the pony package with a big tight end.
Big 21? Big 20?
Yeah, because I think what I'm hearing, what they're doing a lot in practice right now is putting Jaden Blue in the slot.
Okay.
As part of that. And so we'll see exactly what kind of I don't know, interesting things that Steve Sarkisian's kind of dreamed up, because you know he will do that. But Malik Ogbo, a big part of the team in many ways. He's a kind of, you talk about a guy that may be under the radar in a sense of helping the team. He's it.
Yeah.
He's a guy.
No, I love that. And you won't see it. If Sarky is working on something funky like that, you won't see it in the spring game.
That's fair.
You won't see it in the spring game. Fair. But I love what you brought up there, because we have seen them play that Big 11, Big 12, 6-0 line package in more in between the 20 situation, not just situationally in goal line or short yardage or in the red zone. So I think Sark is diversifying his palette as a play caller. Guys, more 21 personnel. We've seen more of that 6-0 line package. You know, he used to be just exclusively 11 personnel guy and 12 personnel. But here in Texas, because I think he's got the luxury of it with all this talent, he's starting to say, you know what, why not use them? I got a deep O-line group. We got 16 scholarship offensive linemen. Why not use more of them? We got the best running back room in the country. Why not use more of them? I think he's starting to see it. And I wouldn't doubt, with this wide receiver room as deep as it is now, guys, we see some of that 10 personnel, which is one back, zero tight ends, at Bama when he had those four first-round wide receivers, Judy and Waddle and Ruggs and all those guys, Devontae Smith, he ran four wide receiver packages. Why not? You got four first-round wide receivers, nightmare fuel for a DC. If those wide receivers prove themselves and earn his trust, he could break out a 10 personnel package here. Think about how diverse the offense would be. You're running 10 then, 11, 12, 21, Big 11, Big 12. If you're a defensive coordinator, that's hell, man. That's hell to have to prepare for a surf offense.
So this is interesting, right? Because college football is not pro football.
No.
With pro football, first of all, they're all football all the time. They've been doing it for 5, 10, 15 years even at some level, right? College football is a little bit different. There's 85 guys on scholarship. And so instead of 53 or whatever the number is in the NFL nowadays, and you have to bring them up to speed, right? Sure. And so Amari Nyeblack is a great example. His offense under Tommy Reese was not what it was previously, right? Yeah. And so how do you use him and get him up to speed as far as movement?
Yeah.
I mean, and that's one of the things that we've heard. Getting the receivers and the tight ends in sync has been a little bit of an issue at times.
That's true.
Because if you think about it, you can say Jatavion Sanders may have ran a 4.7 at the combine, for example, but he ran a 4.7 when he played football too.
Yes, he did.
It wasn't, he didn't all of a sudden go up to a 4.8. I've said this before. And I think that that's one of the things that Texas is fighting right now with these young receivers, is getting everybody on the same page. And I'm saying all of that to kind of round into this point of, you have all of these players. It's harder for Sark to actually get to where he wants to go, because in the pro game, you know what those guys can do, and you know they can adapt to it.
Yep.
Now he's bringing in new concepts to guys they've never seen before.
Very true.
In the pro game, oh, okay, we're going to go 20 personnel, or we're going to go, well, I know where to line. I mean, and it's different. They haven't been around for 3 years.
I agree with that.
That's a good point. So we'll see how all that goes.
That's a good point.
Let's ask a few more questions here. I got some stuff. I got a little note here from Jerry Hamilton. Let's go here. Jerry has said to tell everybody hello here. Jerry and CJ out doing a little recruiting work right now. He said join us at OTF on Texas Football if you want the latest on recruiting news. He and CJ right now are putting that up on the board. But a lot of good stuff going on at Moncrief Newhouse before the spring game later today. All right, speaking of one of the things, and I this is why I actually wrote Jerry a little text to get an answer on this. He and I had talked about this, but did not actually mention it on air yesterday or this morning. From Daniel Lavelle, what are the thoughts on Carmani McClain, defensive back out of Colorado? He says that teams have reached out to him. Texas is on that list. Carmani is a cornerback. Highly rated one, but did not play much as a true freshman at Colorado last year. I've said this, and Jerry and I have talked about it. They're going to look at guys. They're prioritizing defensive line in the transfer portal this year. That's no mistake, right? But the reality of it is, if there is a guy out there that they think can help the team or be a guy that could be a plus-plus player later, I mean, Sark calls it big game hunting.
Yep.
then they're going to do it. I don't know that Kermani McClain, though, necessarily fits that.
Yeah.
So we will see. All right. Somebody's asking if DJ Campbell is going to suit up today. I think he is, unless there's been something that happened in the last 2 to 3 days. I do not think Vernon Broughton, he may be there, but I'm not sure he's going to be suited up. I'm being told that Vernon is having a very special occasion in his life later today. So we'll follow that.
Okay.
We'll follow that on when we get a chance. So if there's anybody that's not out there, I think it may be Vernon for some good things going on in his life.
Okay.
All right. David Shaklovitz here. The weather is clearing in Ratibor, about an hour away from Austin. I've been around a long time. Have anybody ever heard of Ratibor before?
I don't know. I've not heard of it.
I mean, the amount of different towns that we hear is one of the cool things about this podcast.
Ask Craig Way about that one.
It really, yeah, Craig Way. No. Absolutely. Absolutely. Rod, I'll leave this to you here from Nathan.
What is
the storyline coming out of the game that could improve your outlook on the team? So what's the – is it –
okay.
Is it – let me ask you this. Is it Quinn and or Arch being in sync with the receivers, or is it Trey Moore getting after the quarterback with Colin Simmons and getting those guys on the ground a little bit more? Those are the two that I immediately think of. Mm-hmm. Is there something else you want to add, or do you pick one of those?
No, those are both money. The wide receiver thing, though, I still think they have time to figure that out. Because a lot of those, hell, Silas Bowden isn't even on campus yet.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I think they got a little bit more time in the offseason and training camp to figure out the chemistry, continuity, the timing of the passing game with Quinn. So if it's not really good in this game, I won't freak out. I probably will freak out if the secondary doesn't look good. The secondary is exposed too much. They're not winning their fair share. Because as I pointed out, every position group on the 40 acres has improved since Sark has been here, except secondary. Every group, O-line, D-line, linebackers, tight end, running back, quarterback. Only position group that really has not taken a leap is the secondary. Now, I know I'm a little bit more critical of the secondary than I am any other position, but it's true. All right? And last season, ultimately, the two games you lost, your secondary were arguably the biggest reasons. Secondary and red zone offense. You're not going to – Sark has been hinting that the red zone offense is looking really good in spring. Remember, he's saying basically they're losing 11-on-11, which is in between the 20s. They're losing team drill. Defense looks really good, not giving up big plays. But when they get inside the red zone, he says the offense is winning the day in the red zone. My theory is that Sark has been obsessed in the offseason with fixing the red zone because they were 120th in the country in touchdown percentage in the red zone. So he's got some new tricks up his sleeve. He's been studying the Shanahan tree and been probably talking to Sean McVay and that crew about red zones. He's got some tricks. And he's used those in spring. And that's why they're so successful. We won't see those. So I don't know how the red zone offense is going to look, but that would concern me. But the secondary, guys, I mean, the secondary that last year, I mean, they were a big issue. And I think ultimately, if they don't take a leap this year, it could negate all the advantages you're going to gain with the edge pressure, with your edge defenders now being more high-level defenders.
Well, one of the things I would say to that is I do think let me ask you this. So I feel like part of that has been every other position on the team has kind of had high-end draftable talent.
That's true.
Until this past year when we saw Derek Williams and Manny Muhammad come in, maybe Terrence Brooks have also previously. Those are the only three highly ranked guys that are in the secondary, and two of them are only sophomores.
Yes.
Right? And so there's a little bit of that, like what comes first, the chicken or the egg?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you have to have the talent in there.
No doubt.
And I would also say this. I mean, the OU game, I know you mentioned the secondary. I'm not so sure a piece of that wasn't on the linebacker group as well, not containing Dylan Gabriel and the defensive front kind of getting out of their lanes.
Yep.
Boy, I'm still bitter about the OU game. but I think that my point being is that OU game and some of the things that we saw on defense last year, the Washington game wasn't this way, but the OU game was like a team letdown on defense as much as it was just those guys. I do believe and agree with you that even if Trey Moore and Colin Simmons get after the quarterback, right, it still can be mitigated by a poor secondary play, yeah, et cetera. There's no doubt about that. Exactly what the offensive, just how in sync are the receivers? Mm-hmm. That's my takeaway. And to your point, I agree with you about Silas Bolden, not even here yet, and he could be your slot guy. But let's see what DeAndre Moore does today.
Yeah.
I haven't talked about him at all.
Like that.
I'm thinking that's one of those things as well that we'll be talking about. All right. We're here at the Victory Lap. I'm Bobby Burton, joined by Rod Babers. Got some people here. Thank you all for coming out, by the way. Everybody ready for the spring game? Yeah. Let's do it, man. We got about an hour to go before that. We're going to step away here from mic in about 5 minutes here, but wanted to keep this going. Let's go to a little couple other things. Y'all take care. Kelly Hill, nice hat, Rod. Hey. Everybody talks about every time Rod wears the SEC Longhorn hat, they come up and I'm around. They come up and ask you where you can get that, and you have to bow out and say, "It's bootleg material."
Yeah, I can't. I think it'll be available like once we're officially the SEC. When is that, in June or something like that? June or July? I think it'll be available. But yeah, I got some friends and they hooked me up with it. So it definitely is bootleg, but it looks official. So I appreciate the compliment, but I can't get another one just because I don't have another one. If I had another one, I'd give it to you guys. If I had access to it, I would. Hanging out with some folks who are really excited about the move to the SEC, and they made their own hats. The group made their own hats. So yeah.
I'm being told as it relates to the SEC, by the way, I'm being told that there's going to be a celebration on campus on June 30th.
Nice.
Yeah, it's supposed to be that time of year when the official move, I believe, it's either May 30th or June 30th.
Something like that, yeah.
I can't remember exactly which one, but it's going to be that day, and there's going to be booths set up of all of the different schools on campus. So they're going to try to make it a big deal. Have people come out, hang out a little bit, enjoy their time, and get going that way. Stuff that's going to be fun and interesting as it relates to being a part of a major conference, right?
Yeah,
that
no doubt.
Is a little bit different than what it's been in the Big 12. I'm not this big lover of the SEC or anything like that. I never had this fall in love thing with it the last 20 years. But I think from a Texas football perspective, when you, as a season ticket holder, you got to look at the schedule now, mm-hmm, compared to just a year ago and say, man, I want to go to that game.
Oh yeah.
And man, I want to go to that game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have Georgia, Florida. Those are big name programs coming to town. Yeah. And so as we're sitting here at the spring game and looking around and knowing what this place can be like in the fall, should be a lot of fun following the Longhorns this year, entering into a new conference.
Well, and they're good again.
Yeah,
I think we'd all be freaking out if we didn't expect Longhorns actually to go to the SEC and compete to win the SEC. But Sark's done a great job of turning around a program in the 3 years he's been here. So that's why everybody's excited. And that's why, anticipation-wise, we haven't had a spring game with this much build-up to it in a decade or so. Decade or more.
Yeah, all right. I tell you what, that's going to do it for this morning. We're going to get ready to get going here. We got Hookem from Madrid.
That's what I'm talking about.
He's already drinking wine. Yeah. He's not on margarita and beer. He's already in wine. It's nighttime there in Madrid. All right, guys, that's going to do it for this pregame special here from the Victory Lap. We appreciate everyone coming out. We appreciate those that were there. Thank you also to Adam Lowy and the Lowy Law Firm for his sponsorship. Guys, let's go enjoy the game. Hopefully the weather holds.
Amen.
Everybody, Hookem, guys.